This is disc number 16.
Without pause, Richard rode on into that long, dark passageway into the keep. The sounds of the horses' hooves echoed off the damp stone under the murky, arched passage. Beyond the tunnel, they emerged beside an expansive paddock growing thick with lush grass. The gravel road ran along the side of a wall to the right with several doors. The first doors they'd encountered just inside the portcullis would have been where visitors entered. Nicky surmised that this, beyond the second wall, was probably the working entrance to the keep. A fence along the other side of the road enclosed the paddock. Beyond, to the left, the back side of the paddock was walled off by the keep itself. At the far end stood the stables. Without a word, Richard dismounted and opened the gate to the paddock, letting his horse go in but leaving it saddled. Perplexed, Kara and Nicky nonetheless followed his example before following him across the grounds toward an entrance with a dozen wide granite steps, worn smooth and sway-backed over time. They led up into a recessed entryway where simple but heavy double doors into the keep proper began to creak open. An old man, wavy white hair in disarray, peered out like a homeowner surprised by visitors. He gulped air, apparently winded from having run through the keep when he'd realized that someone was coming. He had no doubt been alerted by webs of magic that announced anyone taking the road up to the keep. In ancient times, there would have been people closer at hand to see to anyone newly arrived. Now, there was only the old man. By the way he was breathing, he must have been clear across the keep when the alarms had warned him. Even through the look of astonishment on his thin, wrinkled face, Nicky recognized elements of the features. She knew that he could be none other than Richard's grandfather, Zed. He was tall, but as thin as a sapling. His hazel eyes were wide with wonder, and a kind of childlike excitement, if not innocence. His plain, unadorned robes marked him as a great wizard. He wore his age well. It was a pleasing preview of how, in part, time might treat Richard. The old man threw his arms up over his head.
Richard!
A joyous grin swept across his face.
Bags, is that really you, my boy?
Zed emerged from the doorway and started down the worn steps into the dreary light. Richard ran to his grandfather and lifted him off the steps, hugging him fiercely enough to drive the wind from the already winded old man. They both laughed, a pleasing sound with obvious kinship.
Zed, you can't imagine how glad I am to see you. And you, my boy,
Zed said in a voice turning teary.
It's been too long, far too long.
He reached a stick-like hand past Richard and gripped Kara's shoulder.
How are you, my dear? You appear to be near to spent. Are you all right?
I am Mord Sith, she said, looking a bit indignant. Of course I'm all right. Why would you think I look anything but perfectly fine? Zed chuckled as he pushed back from Richard.
No reason, I suppose. You both look like you could use some rest, and a meal or two is all. But you do look fine, and I'm mighty happy to see you again.
Kara smiled at that. I've missed you, Zed. Zed waggled a finger.
Not very Mord Sith of you to miss an old man. Rika will be astonished to hear such a thing.
Rika? Kara asked in surprise. Rika is here? Zed waggled a hand back in the direction of the partly open door.
She's back in there, somewhere, patrolling, I imagine. She seems to have two preoccupations in life, patrolling and harassing me. I'm telling you, have no peace of mind with the woman. Worse, she's too clever for her own good. At least she's a talented cook.
Kara's brows lifted. Rika can cook? Zed winced, pulling a breath through his teeth.
Don't tell her I said that, or I'll never hear the end of it. The woman...
Zed, Richard interrupted. I have trouble and I need help.
Are you well? You aren't ill, are you? You don't look entirely yourself, my boy.
Zed pressed a hand to Richard's forehead.
Summer fevers are the worst, you know. Heat on top of heat. Bad combination.
Yes. No, I mean, it's not that.
I need to talk to you.
So talk? It has been a long time. Far too long of a time.
What's it been? 2 years this past spring, if I'm not mistaken.
Zed drew back a bit and squeezed Richard's arms as he looked him up and down.
Richard, where's your sword?
Look, we'll talk about that later, Richard said, irritably disengaging himself from Zed's grip in order to wave away the question.
You said you wanted to talk, so talk and tell me where your sword is.
Zed redirected his broad grin at Nikki.
And who is this lovely sorceress you've brought along?
Richard blinked at Zed's smile and then glanced at Nikki. Oh, sorry, Zed. This is Nikki. Nikki, this is...
Nikki!
Zed roared as he danced back up two of the steps, as if he'd spotted a viper.
The sister of the dark, who took you away to the old world, that Nikki? What are you doing with this vile creature? Why would you dare to bring such a woman?
Zed, Richard said, forcefully cutting his grandfather off. Nikki is a friend.
A friend? Are you out of your mind, Richard? How in the world do you expect...
Zed, she's on our side now, he gestured heatedly. Much the same as Kara or Rika. Things change. Before, either of them would have... His voice trailed off as his grandfather stared at him. You know what I mean. I trust Kara with my life now, and she has proven worthy of my trust. I trust Nikki the same. I trust them both with my life. Zed finally gripped Richard's shoulder and gave it an affectionate joggle.
I guess I do know what you mean. Since I gave you the Sword of Truth, you've changed a great many things for the better. Why, I would never in my life have imagined that one day I'd happily be eating meals cooked by a Mord Sith. And delicious meals they are, too.
He caught himself and pointed at Kara.
If you tell her I said that, I'll skin you alive. The woman is already incorrigible.
Kara only smiled. Zed redirected his gaze to Nikki. He didn't have that raptor-like raw quality, but in its own way it was just as disarming and looked to have the potential to be just as disturbing.
Welcome, sorceress. If Richard says you are a friend, then you are. Sorry to get so huffy.
Nikki smiled. Perfectly understandable. I didn't like myself back then either. I was under the influence of dark delusions. I was called Death's Mistress for good reason. Nikki gazed into Richard's gray eyes. Your grandson brought me to see the beauty of life. Zed smiled proudly.
Yes, that's it exactly, the beauty of life.
Richard pounced on the opening. And life is what this is about, Zed. Listen, I need...
Yes, yes, Zed said, waving off Richard's impatience. You always need something. Haven't been back long enough to get in the door, and already you want to know something. If I recall correctly, the first word you ever spoke was, why? Come on, then, come inside. I want to know why you don't have the Sword of Truth with you. I know you wouldn't let anything happen to it, but I want to hear the whole story. Don't leave out a thing. Come along, then.
Motioning them all to follow, Richard's grandfather climbed the stairs toward the doorway. Zed, I need...
Yes, yes, my boy, you need something. I heard you the first time. I think it looks like rain. No use getting started when we're about to get wet. Come inside and I will hear what you have to say.
Zed's voice began echoing as he disappeared into the darkness.
You look like you could use a meal. Is anyone else hungry? Reunions always give me an appetite.
Richard's arms dropped, his hands flopping against his thighs in frustration. He sighed and then hurried up the steps after his grandfather. Nikki knew that had it been anyone else, Richard would have handled it quite differently. People who loved you and had raised you since you were little and had comforted you when you cried at a thunderstorm or the howl of a wolf tended to be disarming to deal with. She could see that it was no different with Richard. His love of his grandfather tied his hands with unbreakable ropes of respect. It was a view of Richard Nikki had never seen before, and one she found quite endearing. Here was the Lord Rawl, the leader of the Daharan Empire, the seeker of truth, a man who could make just about anyone tremble with a look, brought to flustered silence by a kindly, if bewildering, lecture. Had the matters involved not been so serious, Nikki would have been unable to keep herself from grinning at Richard's utter helplessness before such a frail-looking old man. The sound of water reverberated inside the dark anteroom. Zed cast a hand casually to the side, and a lamp on the wall lit. At the ignition of the flame, Nikki recognized the reiteration of a spark of power that marked it as a key lamp. With a succession of whooshing sounds, starting on both sides of the entrance, hundreds of lamps around the vast room lit in pairs. Each whoosh, as a pair of lamps caught flame, was followed almost simultaneously by another, as the lamps around the huge room each took to flame from the engendering magic initiated by the key lamp, the effect being a ring of fire seeming to dance its way around the room. Nikki knew that it would have worked the same had someone lit that particular lamp with a flame rather than magic. The light in the room swelled, and in a span of seconds the anteroom was nearly as bright as day. A cloverleaf-shaped fountain stood centered in the tiled floor. Water spouted high into the air above the top bowl from where it cascaded down each successive tier of ever-wider scalloped bowls, finally running from points around the bottom bowl in perfectly matched arcs into the surrounding pool contained by an outer wall of variegated white marble, made wide enough to act as a bench. All the way around the oval-shaped room, highly polished, deep red marble columns stood below arches supporting a continuous balcony. 100 feet overhead, a section of glassed roof let in some of the somber, late-day light to balance the glow of the lamps down in the heart of the room. At night, the glassed roof would probably also let in the soft, cold light of the moon to give the darkened room a spectral feel. But with it being the new moon, to say nothing of the gathering clouds, there would be no moonlight this night. By the look of the sky through the glassed roof section, Nikki thought that Zed was right. It did look like it might rain. Belying the first impressions of the keep, the room was a beautiful, warm entrance to what seemed such a cold and austere exterior. It hinted at the life the place once held. Like the forsaken city down in the valley, Nikki was rather saddened by the emptiness.
"Welcome to the Wizard's Keep. Perhaps we all should..."
"Zed," Richard growled, cutting his grandfather short, "I need to talk to you, right now. It's important."
Beloved grandfather or not, Nikki could see that Richard was at the end of his patience. Tight, white knuckles stood out in stark contrast against his tan skin and the prominent veins on the backs of his fists. Judging by the way he looked, he hadn't gotten much sleep in recent days, or had much to eat. She didn't think that she had ever seen him looking this exhausted, or this near his wit's end. Kara, as well, looked well past the limits of her endurance, although she did a good job of covering it. Mord Sith were trained to ignore physical discomfort. Despite being overjoyed at seeing his grandfather, Richard's preoccupation with finding the woman from his imagination had cut the pleasantries of the reunion short. The mad rush that had become life since that day he had been shot with the arrow and had nearly died seemed to have come down to this moment. Zed blinked in innocent surprise.
"Well, of course, Richard, of course."
He spread his arms as he spoke in a gentle voice.
"You know that you can always talk to me. Whatever is on your mind, you know that."
"What's Chainfire?"
That was nearly the first thing he had asked of Nikki, too. Zed stood unmoving, a blank look on his face.
"Chainfire?"
he repeated in a flat tone.
"Yes, Chainfire."
A serious expression weighing on his face, Zed considered the question with care, turning toward the fountain as he thought it over. The waiting was almost painful. The fountain burbled and splashed and echoed in the otherwise silent room.
"Chainfire,"
Zed drawled to himself, as he ran a stick-like finger along his smooth jawbone while staring into the tumbling, dancing water cascading down each successive tier of the fountain. Nikki stole a glance at Kara, but the Mord Sith was unreadable. Her drawn face looked as tired and ill-fed as Richard's. But being Kara, she stood tall and straight, not allowing her exhaustion to get the better of her.
"That's right, Chainfire,"
Richard said impatiently through gritted teeth. Do you know what it means? Zed turned back to his grandson, lifting his open hands. He looked not only puzzled, but apologetic.
I'm sorry, Richard, but I've never heard the word chain fire before.
The fury leaving him, Richard looked like he might fall down. The disappointment was only too evident in his eyes. His shoulders slumped as he let out a breath. Kara carefully, but quietly, slipped a step closer, ready to help him if he collapsed. To Nikki, that looked like a real possibility.
Richard, Zed said, his voice taking on an edge, where is your sword?
Richard erupted. It's just a piece of steel.
Just a piece?
Richard's face went crimson. It's just a stupid chunk of metal. Don't you think that there might be more important things to worry about? Zed cocked his head.
More important things? What are you talking about?
I want my life back. Zed stared at him, but remained silent. And in doing so, thereby almost commanded his grandson to say something more to fill in some of the blanks. Richard paced from the fountain to a broad band of triple steps that led up between two of the red marble pillars. A long red and gold carpet bordered with simple black geometric designs ran between the pillars, off under a balcony, and into the darkness. Richard raked the fingers of both hands back through his hair. What difference does it make? No one believes me. No one will help me find her. Nikki felt a deep sense of sorrow for him. At that moment, she regretted every harsh thing she had ever said, trying to convince him that he had only dreamed up Kaylin. He needed to be helped over his delusions, but at that moment, she would have been happy to let him hold on to them if it would have brought the light of life back into his eyes. She longed to hold him and tell him that it would be all right, but she couldn't, for more reasons than one. Kara, arms hanging straight at her sides, looked just as saddened to see Richard agonizing so. There seemed no end in sight. Nikki suspected that the Mord Sith would have agreed with Nikki to let Richard have his beautiful dream of the woman he loved. But a lie would not soothe such real pain.
Richard, I don't know what you're talking about, but what does it have to do with the Sword of Truth?
Zed asked, the edge returning to his voice. Richard closed his eyes a moment against the torment of saying aloud what he had said so many times when no one ever believed him. I have to find Kaylin. Nikki could see him draw tighter, bracing for the usual disconcerting questions as to who he was talking about and where he could ever have gotten such a notion. Nikki could see that it was almost too much for him to bear another person telling him he was imagining things, questioning his sanity. She could see him dreading it even more coming from his grandfather. Zed tilted his head a little.
Kaylin?
Yes, Richard said with a sigh and without looking up. Kaylin. But you wouldn't know who I'm talking about. Ordinarily, Richard would have launched into a ready explanation, but now he looked too dejected to want to bother to explain yet again, to be greeted with incredulity and disbelieving questions.
Kaylin?
Zed's brow drew down in cautious query.
Kaylin Amnell? Is that the Kaylin you're talking about?
Nikki froze. Richard looked up, his eyes wide.
What did you say?
He whispered.
Kaylin Amnell? That Kaylin?
Nikki's heart skipped a beat. Kara's jaw had dropped. In a blink, Richard had the front of Zed's robes in his fists and had lifted the old man clear of the floor. Richard's sweat-slicked muscles glistened in the lamplight.
You said her whole name, Kaylin Amnell. I didn't tell you her whole name. You said it on your own.
Zed was looking more confused by the moment.
But that's because the only Kaylin I know of is Kaylin Amnell.
You know Kaylin. You know who I'm talking about?
The Mother Confessor?
Yes, the Mother Confessor.
Well, of course. Most people know her, I expect. Richard, what's gotten into you? Let me down.
Nikki felt dizzy. She couldn't believe her own ears. How was such a thing possible? It wasn't. It was so overwhelmingly, inconceivably impossible that she thought she might faint. His hands trembling, Richard set his grandfather down. "What do you mean everyone knows her?" Zed pulled on each sleeve in turn, pulling them back down his skinny arms. He rearranged his disheveled robes at his hips, all the time watching his grandson. He looked truly bewildered by Richard's behavior.
"Richard, what's the matter with you? How could they not know her? She's the mother confessor, for crying out loud."
Richard swallowed. "Where is she?" Zed shot a brief, confused glance at Kara and then Nikki before looking back at Richard.
"Why, down at the confessor's palace."
Richard let out a cry of joy and threw his arms around his grandfather. Chapter 47. Gripping his grandfather's skinny shoulders, Richard shook the old man. "She's here? Kaelin is at the confessor's palace?" Worry spreading across Zed's wrinkled face, he cautiously nodded. With the back of his hand, Richard wiped away the tears running down his cheek.
"She's here," he said, turning to Kara.
He gripped her shoulders and gave her a firm shake. "She's in Aidendrill. Did you hear? I wasn't imagining it. Zed remembers her. He knows the truth." Kara looked as if she were doing her best to come to grips with her astonishment without letting it be mistaken for unhappiness at the startling news.
"Lord Rall, I'm happy for you. Really, I am, but I don't see how..."
Richard, not seeming to notice the Mord Sith's halting uncertainty, turned back to the wizard.
"What's she doing down there?" he asked, his voice bubbling over with excitement.
Zed, looking gravely troubled, again glanced to both Kara and Nikki before tenderly laying a hand on Richard's shoulder.
"Richard, that's where she's buried."
The world seemed to stop. In a flash of understanding, Nikki realized the truth. Suddenly, it all became clear. Zed's behavior now made sense. The woman Zed was talking about was not the Kaelin, the mother confessor, from Richard's imagination. The woman he imagined loved him and had married him. It was the real mother confessor. Nikki had warned Richard that in his dream he had done a dangerous thing by imagining a woman as his bride, who was not simply some anonymous imaginary woman, but instead was a woman he had heard of before. A woman who, it so happened, was well known in the Midlands. This was the real Kaelin Amnell, the real Mother Confessor, who was buried down at the Confessor's Palace, not the one Richard had dreamed up to be his love. It had been this very reality that Nikki had feared would eventually come to shatter Richard's world. She had warned him that this was bound to happen. She had warned him that he would one day come face to face with the truth. This was the moment. This was the very thing she had been trying to prevent. Still, Nikki felt no joy at all in being right. She felt only crushing sadness at what Richard must be feeling. She couldn't even begin to imagine how confusing, how disorienting it had to be for him. For someone as firmly grounded in reality as Richard had always been, this entire ordeal had to be devastating. Richard could only stare.
"Richard,"
Zed finally said, giving him a gentle squeeze on his arms,
"are you all right? What's going on?"
Richard slowly blinked. He looked in a state of shock.
"What do you mean she's buried down at the confessor's palace?" he asked in a shaky voice. "When did it happen?"
Zed guardedly licked his lips.
"I don't know when she died. When I was down there, when Jagang's army was marching on Aidendrill, I saw the grave marker. I didn't know her. I just saw her grave, that's all. It's a pretty big marker. It would be hard to miss. The confessors were all killed by the quads that Dark and Rall sent. She must have died back then. Richard, you couldn't possibly have known the woman. She had to have been dead and buried before we ever left our home in Westland, back before the boundary came down, back when you were still a woods guide in the Heartland Forest."
Richard pressed his palms to his forehead,
No, no, you don't understand. You're having the same problem as everyone else. It's not her. You know Kaylin. Zed lifted a sympathetic hand toward his grandson.
Richard, that's not possible. The quads killed the confessors.
Yes, the other confessors were killed by those assassins, but not her, not Kaylin. Richard waved a hand as he dismissed the argument.
Zed, she's the one who came to ask you to appoint the Seeker. That's why we left Westland. You know Kaylin.
Zed frowned.
What in the world are you talking about? We had to leave when Darkenrall came hunting us. We had to run for our lives.
In part, but Kaylin came looking for you first. She's the one who told us the Darkenrall had put the boxes of Orden in play. He was on the other side of the boundary. If not for Kaylin coming, how would we have even known?
Zed peered at Richard, as if he suspected he might be quite ill. Richard, when the boxes of Orden are put into play, the snake vine grows. It even says so in the Book of Counted Shadows. You, of all people, know that. You were in the upper Ven and were bitten by a snake vine. It caused a fever, and you came to me for help. That's how we knew the boxes of Orden were in play. Darkenrall then came to Westland and attacked us.
Well, yes, that's all true in a way, but Kaylin told us what was happening in the Midland. She confirmed it. Richard growled in frustration.
It's more than that, more than her coming to ask you to appoint a Seeker. You know her. I'm afraid that I don't, Richard.
Dear Spirit Zed, you spent last winter with her and the Daharan army. When Nikki took me down to the old world, Kaylin was there with Kara and you. He pointed insistently at Kara, as if it would somehow prove the point and end the nightmare. She and Kara fought with you all winter.
Zed glanced up at Kara.
Kara, behind Richard's back, turned her palms up and shrugged at Zed to let him know that she didn't know any more about it than Zed did.
As long as you brought up the business about you being the Seeker, where is your...
Richard snapped his fingers, his face suddenly lighting up.
That's not Kaylin's grave. Of course it is. There's no mistaking this grave. It's prominent, and I clearly recall that it has her name carved right in the stone.
Yes, it's her name, but not her grave. I realize what you're talking about now.
Richard chuckled with relief. I'm telling you, it's not her grave.
Zed didn't think it was funny.
Richard, I've seen her name on the stone. It's her, the mother confessor, Kaylin Amnell.
Richard shook his head insistently. No, that's not her. That was a trick.
A trick?
Zed cocked his head, frowning.
What are you talking about? What sort of trick?
They were hunting her. The Order was after Kaylin when they occupied Adendrill. They had taken over the council, condemned her to death, and they were hunting her. To keep them from chasing her, you put a death spell on her.
What? A death spell? Richard, do you have any idea of the magnitude of what you're suggesting?
Of course I do, but it's true. You needed to feign her death so that the Order would think they had succeeded and wouldn't come after her. So that she could get away. Don't you remember? You made that headstone, or at least you had it made. I came here to find her. It was a few years back. Your spell even fooled me. I thought she was dead, but she wasn't. His confusion had receded. And now Zed was looking seriously worried.
Richard, I can't imagine what is wrong with you, but this is simply...
You two escaped to safety, but you left me a message on her headstone, Richard said, jabbing a finger at Zed's chest, so that I would know that she was really still alive, so that I wouldn't despair, so that I wouldn't give up. I almost did, but then I figured it out. Zed was nearly boiling over with frustration, impatience, and concern. Nikki knew the feeling.
Bags, my boy, what message are you talking about?
The words on the headstone, the inscription, it was a message to me.
Zed planted his fists on his hips. What are you talking about? What message? What was this message?
Richard started pacing, pressing his fingertips to his temples as he mumbled to himself, apparently trying to recall the exact wording. Or, Nikki thought, trying to dream it up the way he always dreamed up answers to talk his way out of facing the truth. She knew that this time he was making a mistake that would catch him up. Reality was closing in around him, even if he didn't yet recognize it. He soon would. Nikki dreaded that unequivocal juncture of delusion and truth. Despite wanting Richard to get better, to get over the false memories he had been suffering, she dreaded the pain she knew it would bring him when he eventually came face to face with the unambiguous truth. Even more, she dreaded what would happen to him if he couldn't see the truth, or refused to see it, if he sank forever deeper into a world of illusion. "Not here," he muttered. "Something about not being here, and something about my heart." Zed pushed his cheek out with his tongue, apparently in an effort to keep still while he watched his grandson pacing back and forth and at the same time probably tried to imagine what could be happening to him. "No," Richard said abruptly as he halted. "No, not my heart. That's not what it said. It's a big monument, I remember now. It said, 'Kaylin Amnell, Mother Confessor, she is not here, but in the hearts of those who love her.' It was a message for me not to give up hope because she wasn't really dead. She wasn't really there in that grave."
"Richard," Zed said in soft consolation, "it's a common enough thing to say on a grave marker that someone isn't dead but rather lives on in the hearts of those who love her. Grave diggers probably have stacks of grave markers made up with that sentiment, carved with those very words.
But she wasn't buried there. She wasn't. It says that she is not here for a reason."
"Then who is buried in her grave?" Zed asked.
Richard went still for a moment. "No one," he finally said, his gaze wandering off as he thought. "Mistress Sanderholt, the cook at the palace, she was fooled by your death spell like everyone else. When I finally got here, she told me that you stood there on the platform while Kaylin was beheaded. She was in mourning over it and terribly upset, but I realized that you wouldn't do such a thing, and so it had to be one of your tricks. You told me that, remember? Sometimes the best magic is just a trick." Zed nodded.
"That part is true enough.
Mistress Sanderholt told me that Kaylin's body had been burned in a funeral pyre, the whole thing supervised by the first wizard himself. She said that Kaylin's ashes were then buried before that immense stone marker. Mistress Sanderholt even took me out to the secluded courtyard beside the palace where confessors are buried. She showed me the grave. I was horrified. I thought it was her, that she was dead, until I figured out the message carved in the stone, the message the two of you left for me to find." Richard gripped his grandfather's shoulders again. "Do you see? It was just a trick to throw our enemies off her trail. She wasn't really dead. She wasn't really buried there. Nothing is buried there except maybe some ashes." Nikki thought that it was rather convenient that Richard imagined her being cremated in his story of the death spell bluff, so that all that remained were ashes that couldn't be identified. He always came up with something that, to his mind, logically explained the lack of evidence. Nikki didn't know if confessors really were cremated, but if they were, that would only provide him with another useful pretext to prop up his story, so that he could continue to deny that it was her. They would again have no way to prove otherwise. Unless, of course, he was dreaming up the funeral pyre part of his story, and confessors weren't ordinarily cremated.
"And so you say that you went there?" Zed asked. "Down to where the gravestone stands?"
"Yes, and then Denna came." "Denna was dead," Kara said, interrupting for the first time. "You killed her in order to escape from her at the People's Palace. She couldn't have been there. Unless, of course, she appeared as a spirit."
"Yes, that's right," Richard said, turning to Kara. "She did. She came as a spirit and took me to a place between worlds so that I could be with Kaylin there."
Kara's eyes briefly turned to the wizard. Her incredulity was impossible for her to mask, so she looked away from Richard and occupied herself with scratching the back of her neck. Nikki wanted to scream. His story grew more insanely convoluted by the moment. She remembered the prelate once teaching Nikki as a novice how the seed of lies, once planted, only grew more tangled and out of control over time. Zed came up from behind and gently grasped Richard's shoulders.
"Come on, my boy. I think you need to get some rest, and then afterwards we can..."
"No!" Richard cried out as he twisted away. "I'm not imagining it. I'm not making it up." Nicky knew he was doing just that. In a certain sense, it was remarkable the way he was able, on the spot, to weave new events based on his original delusion, to continually manage to escape the trap of the truth. But he could not escape it forever. There was the matter of the true mother confessor buried in the grave, and that was all too real, unless it turned out that the Midlands actually did cremate their confessors, in which case Richard would be able to continue to hobble along, clinging to his dream for a little while longer, until the next problem cropped up. Sooner or later, though, something was going to shatter those dreams. Zed tried again.
"Richard, you're tired. You look like you've been living on a horse for..."
"I can prove it," Richard said in calm defiance. Everyone went quiet. "You don't believe me, I know. None of you do, but I can prove it."
"What do you mean?" Zed asked.
"Come on, come with me down to the gravestone."
"Richard, I told you the gravestone very well could say what you said you remember. But that proves nothing. It's a common enough sentiment to express on a gravestone."
"Do they typically burn the bodies of the mother confessor on a funeral pyre? Or was that just part of your trick, so that you wouldn't have to produce her body at the funeral when she was supposedly buried?" Zed was beginning to look more than just a little indignant.
"When I used to live here, the bodies of the confessors were never desecrated. The mother confessor was placed in a silver-clad coffin in her white dress, and the people were allowed to view her one last time, to say their farewells before she was buried."
Richard glared at his grandfather, at Kara, and finally at Nicky. "Good. If I have to dig up the grave and prove to all of you that there is nothing buried under the gravestone, then that's what I will do. We need to get this settled so that we can move on to the solution to what's happening. In order to do that, I need you all to believe me." Zed spread his hands.
"Richard, that isn't necessary."
"Yes, it is. It is necessary. I want my life back." No one offered an argument. "Zed, have I ever told you a malicious lie?"
"No, my boy, you never have."
"I'm not lying now." "Richard," Nicky said, "no one is saying that you're lying, only that you're suffering the unfortunate effects of delirium induced by an injury. It's not your fault. We all know you aren't doing this deliberately." He turned to his grandfather. "Zed, don't you see? Think about it. Something is going wrong in the world. Something is terribly wrong for some reason that I haven't been able to figure out. I'm the only one who was aware of it. I'm the only one who remembers Kalen. There has to be something behind this, something wicked. Maybe Jigang is responsible." "Jigang had the beast created to come after you," Nicky said. "He put everything into that effort. He wouldn't need to do anything else. Besides, with the beast already stalking you, what purpose would it serve?" "I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but I know the truth of part of it."
"And how can it be that you alone know the truth and everyone else is wrong? That everyone's memory but yours has failed them?" Zed asked.
"I don't know the answer to that either, but I can prove what I'm telling you. I can show you the grave. Come on."
"I told you, Richard, the marker says common words."
Richard's expression turned dangerous. "Then we will dig up the grave so that you can all see that it's empty and that I'm not crazy." Zed lifted a hand toward the still open door.
"But it will be dark soon. What's more, it's going to rain."
Richard turned back from the doorway. "We have an extra horse. We can still make it down there while we have daylight. If we need to, we can use lanterns. If I must, I will dig in the dark. This is more important than worrying about a little rain or the lack of light. I need to get this over, now, so that we can get on to solving the very real problem and so that I can find Kalen before it's too late. Let's go." Zed gestured heavily.
"Richard, this is..."
Let him do as he asks, Nicky said, interrupting, drawing all eyes. We've all heard enough. This is important to him. We must allow him to do as he thinks he must. It's the only chance we have to finally settle the matter. Before Zed could answer her, a Mord Sith appeared from between two red pillars at the opposite side of the room. Her blonde hair was pulled back into a single braid like Kara's. She wasn't quite as tall as Kara, and not as lean, but she looked just as formidable in the way she carried herself, as if she feared nothing and lived for an excuse to prove it. "What's going on? I heard..." She stared in sudden astonishment. "Kara? Is that you?" "Rika," Kara said with a smile and a nod. "It's good to see your face again." Rika bowed her head to Kara more deeply than Kara had, before staring at Richard. She stepped forward into the room. Her eyes widened. "Lord Rawl, I haven't seen you since..." Richard nodded. "Since the People's Palace in Dahara. When I came to close the gateway to the underworld, you were one of the Mord Sith who helped get me up to the Garden of Life. You were the one who held my shirt at my left shoulder, as all of you guided me safely through the palace. One of your sister Mord Sith gave her life that night that I might complete my mission." Rika smiled in astonishment. "You remember? We were all in our red leather. I can't believe you have that good a memory that you could remember me, much less that I was the one at your left shoulder." She bowed her head. "And you honor us all to remember one who fell in battle." "I do have a good memory." Richard cast a dark glare at Nicky and then Zed. "That was just before I came back to Adendril and the gravestone with Kaelin's name on it." He turned back to Rika. "Watch over the keep, will you, Rika? We all have to go down to the city for a while." "Of course, Lord Rawl," Rika said, bowing her head again, looking almost giddy to be in Richard's presence and to be remembered. Richard again swept his raptor-like glare across the rest of them. "Let's go." Richard vanished out the doorway. Zed caught Nikki's sleeve on her way by.
"He was hurt, wasn't he?"
When she hesitated, he went on.
"You said he was suffering delusions from being injured."
Nicky nodded.
"He was shot with an arrow. He almost died."
"Nicky healed him," Kara leaned in as she spoke in a low voice. "She saved Lord Rawl's life."
Zed lifted an eyebrow.
"A friend, indeed."
"I healed him," Nicky confirmed. "But it was difficult beyond anything I've ever attempted before. I may have saved his life, but I now worry that I didn't do a good enough job of it."
"What do you mean?" Zed asked.
"I fear that I may have somehow done something to cause his delusions."
"That isn't true," Kara said.
"I wonder if it is," Nicky said. "If I might have done more, or done things differently."
She swallowed past the lump growing in her throat. She feared that it was true, that Richard's problem was her fault, that she hadn't acted quickly enough, or that she might have done something dreadfully wrong. She constantly fretted over her decision that terrible morning to get Richard to a safe place before working on him. She had feared an attack that would have fatally interrupted her efforts to heal him, but maybe if she would have simply started right then and there on the battlefield, he might not now be chasing phantoms. After all, an attack had never come, so she'd made the wrong judgment about needing to get him to the deserted farmhouse. She didn't know at the time that no attack was imminent. But maybe, if she would have taken the time to have Victor's men scout the area, she could have started healing Richard much sooner. She hadn't done that because she feared that if they scouted, and she was right about more of the enemy being nearby, then they would have had to move Richard anyway, and by then, his time would have run out. Even so, she was the one who had made the decisions, and Richard was the one now suffering delusions. Something had gone wrong that terrible night. There was no one in the world who mattered to her more than Richard. She feared that she was the one who had caused him the harm that was ruining his life.
"What exactly was wrong with him?" Zed asked. "Where was he shot with the arrow?"
in the left side of his chest, with a barbed bolt from a crossbow. That barbed head lodged in his chest without penetrating all the way through his back. He was able to partially deflect it, so it just missed his heart, but his lung and chest were rapidly filling with blood. Zed lifted an eyebrow in astonishment.
And you were able to get the arrow out and heal him?
That's right, Kara confirmed with forceful passion. She saved Lord Rawl's life.
I don't know.
Nikki had difficulty putting it all into words.
I've been separated from him as I made my way here. Now that I see him again, see how he has latched so strongly onto his delusion and can't come to see the truth. I'm not so sure I did him any good. How can he live if he can't see the truth of the world around him? While his body may be healed, he's suffering a dreadful kind of slow death as his mind fails him.
Zed gave her shoulder a fatherly pat. Nikki recognized the light of life in his eyes. It was the same spark that Richard had. At least the same spark he used to have.
We'll just have to help him see the truth.
And if it destroys his heart?
She asked. Zed smiled. It reminded her of Richard's smile, the smile she missed so much.
Then we'll just have to heal his heart now, won't we?
Nikki was unable to bring forth more than a whisper that bordered on tears.
And how are we to do that?
Zed smiled again and gave her shoulder a firm squeeze.
We'll have to see. First we have to let him see the truth. Then we can worry about healing the wound it will bring his heart.
Nikki could only nod. She dreaded seeing Richard hurt.
And what is this beast you mentioned, the one Jagang created?
A weapon created with the use of the Sisters of the Dark,
Nikki said.
Something from the time of the Great War.
Zed cursed under his breath at the news. Kara looked like she had something to say about the beast, but she thought better of it and instead started for the door.
Come on, I don't want Lord Rawl to get too far ahead of us.
Zed grumbled his agreement.
Looks like we're going to get wet.
At least if it rains, the Mord Sith said, it will wash some of the horse off of me.
Chapter 48. The drizzle started before they were out of the paddock. Richard was already gone. There was no telling how far ahead of them he had gotten. Kara wanted to hurry and catch up with him, but Zed told her that they knew where he was going and there was no point in risking breaking the leg of one of the tired horses because, if that happened, then they would only end up having to walk down the mountain after Richard and then, after visiting the graveyard of the confessors, walk all the way back up.
Besides, Zed told her, you'll never be able to catch him.
Well, you might be right about that, Kara said as she spurred her horse into a canter. But I don't want him alone any longer than necessary. I'm his protection.
Especially since he's without his sword,
Zed muttered sourly. They had little choice but to hurry after Kara. By the time they'd raced down the mountain and reached the city, the daylight was fading and the drizzle strengthening. Nikki knew they were going to be soaked before it was over, but there was no helping it. Fortunately, it was warm enough that at least they wouldn't be freezing in the wet weather. Knowing where Richard would be, they made their way to the grounds of the Confessor's Palace, where they quickly found his horse, tied to one of the rings holding chains strung between decorative granite stanchions. Since there was no opening in the chains, they were apparently meant to indicate a private area of the grounds. After the three of them tied their horses alongside Richard's, Kara and Nikki followed Zed as he stepped over the chain. This was clearly not a place where outsiders were welcome. The secluded courtyard was screened from public view by a row of tall elms and a dense wall of evergreen junipers. Through the thick branches of the grand trees, Nikki saw glimpses of the white walls of the Confessor's Palace looming close by, enfolding and sheltering the wooded graveyard. Because of the way it was hidden away, Nikki had expected it to be small, but the place where confessors were buried was actually quite extensive. Trees were placed so as to cut the openness and give each section of the graveyard an intimate feel. By the manner in which it was laid out, with a path and small vine-covered colonnade ushering people approaching from the palace, it was apparently intended to be accessed solely from the palace through elegant, double-glassed doors. In the muted gray light, the quiet place beneath the canopy of trees had a hallowed feel to it. They found Richard up a slight rise in what would be the shady courtyard were it sunny, standing in the drizzle before a polished stone monument, running his fingers through the letters carved in the granite, through the letters of the name Kalin. Somewhere on the grounds to the confessor's palace, Richard had managed to find shovels and picks. They lay at the ready nearby. Scanning the area, Nicky saw that there were storage buildings for groundskeepers set back among the hedges partly hidden around a corner of the palace, and reasoned that Richard had found them there. As she quietly approached him, Nicky knew that Richard was on the brink of something potentially very dangerous to him. She stood behind him, hands folded, waiting, as he tenderly touched Kalin's name in stone. "Richard," Nicky finally said in a soft voice, feeling the need for a reverent tone in such a place, "I hope that you will think about everything I've told you, and if things don't turn out the way at this moment you believe they will, know that we will all help you in any way we can." He turned away from her name in stone. "Don't be worried about me, Nicky. There is nothing under this ground. She isn't here. I'm going to show that to all of you, and then you will have to believe me. I'm going to get my life back. When I do, then you're all going to understand that something is very wrong. Then we're going to have to work to find out what's going on, and we're going to find Kalin." After holding her gaze for a moment, waiting to see if she would dare to challenge him, Richard, without another word, snatched up a shovel and with a forceful push of his foot, sank the blade into the slightly mounded grassy ground in front of the stone marker to the dead mother confessor. Zed stood nearby, silent, unmoving as he watched. He'd brought two lanterns with him. They sat on a stone bench nearby, giving off a weak but steady glow in the still dampness. The drizzle was giving rise to ground fog. Although the sky was completely covered over with iron-gray clouds, by the failing light Nicky thought that it must be just after sunset. With it being the darkest night of the new moon, and with thick clouds to hide even the stars, it was going to be a blackest of nights. Even without the drizzle and approaching darkness, it was a miserable time to be digging up dead people. As Richard worked with a kind of controlled but focused anger, Kara finally picked up another shovel. "The sooner we get this over with, the better." She plunged her shovel into the damp ground and started helping Richard dig. Zed stood nearby, silent and grim as he watched. Nicky would have helped get it over with, but she doubted that more than two people would have room to dig without getting in the way of each other. She might have used magic to accomplish the deed of opening the ground, but she had a strong sense that Zed would not have approved, that he wanted this to be Richard's effort, his muscle, his sweat, his doing. As the light gradually dimmed, Richard and Kara worked themselves ever deeper into the ground. They had to resort to the pick to get through thick roots crisscrossing the gravesite. Such good-sized roots told Nicky that the grave had to be older than Richard believed. If he realized as much, he didn't mention it as he worked. Nicky supposed that he could somehow be right, that this was no real grave, which would explain why the roots had grown as thick as they were. If Richard was right, only a small hole would have had to have been dug among them, just big enough for a ceremonial vessel containing ashes to have been buried. But she didn't for a moment believe it. Shovelful by shovelful, the pile of black dirt to the side of the hole grew even larger. Although Zed said nothing as he watched, Nicky could read in the deep lines of his face that moment by moment, he was becoming ever more incensed at exhuming the mother confessor, even if it would settle the matter. He looked like he had a thousand things to say, all bottled up inside him. Nicky thought that he would wait until after Richard found the buried truth. But by the grim set of the wizard's jaw, she didn't think that when he finally had his say that it was going to be at all pleasant or understanding. This was behavior that crossed a line with him. When Richard's and Kara's heads, dripping sweat and rainwater, were even with the surface of the ground, Richard's shovel abruptly thunked against something that sounded solid. He and Kara paused. Richard looked stunned and confused. According to his story, there ought not to be anything in the grave except maybe a small container holding ashes, and it was hard to believe that such a container would be buried this deep.
"It has to be a container for the ashes," he finally said as he looked up at Zed.
"That has to be it. You wouldn't have simply dumped ashes in the hole in the ground. At the funeral, they would have used a receptacle of some kind for the ashes you tricked them into thinking were Kalin's."
Zed said nothing.
Kara watched Richard for a moment and then plunged her shovel in the ground. It also made a resounding thunk. With the back of her wrist, she swiped a strand of blonde hair off her face as she looked up at Nikki.
"Well, it would appear you've found something."
Zed's ominous voice seemed to carry through the low fog that had gathered along the ground in the private graveyard.
"I guess we ought to see what it is."
Richard stared up at his grandfather a moment, and then went back to digging. It wasn't long before he and Kara had exposed a flat surface. It was too dark to see it clearly, but Nikki knew what it was. It was the truth about to be uncovered. It was the end of Richard's delusion.
"I don't understand," Richard murmured, confused by the size of what they were uncovering.
"Dig the top clear,"
Zed ordered with barely restrained displeasure. Richard and Kara worked to carefully but quickly clean the wet dirt away from what was becoming all too clear was a coffin. When they had it fully exposed, Zed ordered them out of the hole they'd dug. The old wizard held his hands over the open grave and turned his palms up. As Richard, Kara, and Nikki watched, the heavy coffin began to rise. Dirt fell away as the long object rose up out of the dark void. Stepping back away from the open breach in the sacred ground, Zed gently used his gift to set the coffin on the grass beside the open grave. The exterior was elaborately carved with designs of enfolding fern fronds overlaid with silver. It was reverently, sorrowfully beautiful. Richard could only stare in terror at what the coffin might contain.
"Open it," Zed commanded.
Richard looked up at him for a moment.
"Open it,"
Zed repeated. Richard finally knelt close to the silver-clad coffin and used the tip of his shovel to carefully pry the top loose. Kara retrieved the two lanterns, handing one to Zed. She held the other lantern up over Richard's shoulder to help him see. When it finally came loose, Richard lifted the heavy lid enough to slide the top portion aside. The glow from Kara's lamp fell across a decomposed corpse, now almost completely skeletal. The careful workmanship of the coffin appeared to have so far kept the body dry on its long journey toward dust. The bones were mottled with stains from long burial and the inescapable process of deterioration. A fall of long hair, most still attached to the skull, draped over the shoulders. Little tissue was left, mostly connective tissue, especially that holding the bones of the fingers together. Even this long after death, those fingers still clutched a long-ago crumpled bouquet of flowers. The body of the Mother Confessor was wearing an exquisite, simply styled, satiny white dress, cut square at the neckline, that now revealed bare ribs. The bouquet clutched in her hands had been enfolded in a wrapping of pearled lace with a broad golden ribbon attached to it. On the gold ribbon, in stitched letters of silver thread, it said, "Beloved Mother Confessor, Kalin Amnell, she will always be in our hearts." There could hardly be any doubt anymore as to the true fate of the Mother Confessor, or to the reality that what Richard had so strongly believed was his memories was nothing more than sweet delusions now turned to dust. Richard, his chest heaving, his breath catching, could only stare into the open coffin at the skeletal remains, at the white dress, at the golden ribbon around the black fragments of what had once been a beautiful bouquet of flowers. Nicky felt sick.
"Are you satisfied now?"
Zed asked in a measured tone of smoldering anger.
"I don't understand,"
Richard whispered, unable to take his eyes from the ghastly sight.
"You don't? I think it seems pretty clear,"
Zed told him.
"But I know she isn't buried here. I can't explain this. I don't understand the contradiction to what I know is true."
Zed clasped his hand.
"There is no contradiction to understand. Contradictions don't exist."
"Yes, but I know..."
"Wizard's ninth rule. A contradiction cannot exist in reality. Not in part, nor in whole. To believe in a contradiction is to abdicate your belief in the existence of the world around you and the nature of the things in it. To instead embrace any random impulse that strikes your fancy. To imagine something is real simply because you wish it were. A thing is what it is. It is itself. There can be no contradictions."
"But Zed, I have to believe..."
"Ah! You believe. You mean that the reality of this coffin and the Mother Confessor's long-buried body has shown you something you did not expect and don't want to accept, and so you wish to instead take refuge in the blind fog of faith. Is that what you mean to say?"
"Well, in this case..."
"Faith is a device of self-delusion. A sleight of hand done with words and emotions founded on any irrational notion that can be dreamed up. Faith is the attempt to coerce truth to surrender to whim. In simple terms, it is trying to breathe life into a lie by trying to outshine reality with the beauty of wishes. Faith is the refuge of fools, the ignorant, and the deluded. Not of thinking, rational men. In reality, contradictions cannot exist. To believe in them, you must abandon the most important thing you possess, your rational mind. The wager for such a bargain is your life. In such an exchange, you always lose what you have at stake."
Richard ran his fingers back into his wet hair. "But Zed, something is wrong here. I don't know what, but I know it is. You have to help me."
"I just did. I've allowed you to show us the proof that you yourself named. Here it is, in this coffin. I admit that it isn't as desirable as what you wish were true, but the reality of it can't be evaded. This is what you seek. This is Kaelin Amnell, the Mother Confessor, just as it says on the gravestone."
Zed arched an eyebrow as he leaned a little toward his grandson.
"Unless you can show that this is some kind of trickery, that someone for some reason buried this here as part of an elaborate hoax just to make it look like you're wrong and everyone else is right, that would seem a pretty thin contention if you ask me. I'm afraid that from the clear evidence right here, this is the reality, the proof you sought. And there is no contradiction."
Richard stared down at the long dead body before him. "Something is wrong. This can't be true. It just can't be." The muscles in Zed's jaw flexed.
"Richard, I've allowed you this gruesome indulgence when by all rights I shouldn't have. Now, tell me why you don't have the sword. Where is the sword of truth?"
Rain patted softly on the canopy of leaves above as Richard's grandfather waited. Richard stared into the coffin. "I gave the sword to Shota in exchange for information I needed." Zed's eyes went wide.
"You did what?"
"I had to," Richard said without looking up at his grandfather.
"You had to? You had to?"
"Yes," Richard answered in a meek voice.
"In exchange for what information?"
Richard put his elbows on the edge of the coffin as his face sank into his hands. In exchange for what might help me find the truth of what's going on, I need answers. I need to know how to find Kaylin. In fury, Zed thrust his finger toward the coffin.
There is Kaylin Amnell, right where the gravestone has always said she is buried. And what oh so valuable bit of information did the Shota give you after she tricked you out of the sword?
Richard made no effort to contend the characterization of being tricked out of the sword. Chainfire, he said. She told me the word chainfire, but she didn't know what it meant. She told me that I must find the place of the bones in the deep nothing.
The deep nothing, Zed mocked.
He gazed up at the black sky as he took a breath.
I don't suppose Shota was able to tell you what this deep nothing is.
Richard shook his head but didn't look up. She also said to beware the viper with four heads. Zed let out another angry breath.
Don't tell me. Neither she nor do you have any idea what that means either.
Again Richard shook his head without looking up at his grandfather.
Is that it? That's the great prize of valuable information you got in exchange for the Sword of Truth?
Richard hesitated. There was one other thing. He spoke so softly that he could hardly be heard over the gentle whisper of rain. Shota said that what I seek is long buried. Zed's smoldering rage threatened to explode.
There, he said, thrusting out a finger to point. There is what you seek. Kaylin Amnell, the mother confessor, long buried!
Richard, head down, said nothing.
For this, you traded the Sword of Truth, a weapon of incalculable value, a weapon that can bring down not only the wicked but the good as well, a weapon handed down from the wizards of the ancient times meant to be entrusted to only a select few. A weapon I entrusted to you. And you gave it to a witch woman. Do you have any idea at all what I had to go through to recover the Sword of Truth from Shota the last time she got her hands on it?
Richard shook his head as he stared at the ground beside the coffin, looking like he dared not test his voice. Nikki knew that Richard had a number of things to say in his own defense, had a number of things having to do with his reasoning behind his beliefs and actions. But he said none of them, even when offered the chance. As his grandfather raged at him, he knelt in silence, hanging his head beside the open coffin holding the end of his fantasy.
I trusted you with something of great value. I thought such a dangerous object was safe in your hands. Richard, you've let me down. You have let everyone down so that you could chase a dream. Well, here it is, bones long buried. I hope you think the trade fair, but I certainly don't.
Kara stood nearby, holding the lantern, her hair plastered to her head by the slow but steady rain. She looked like she wanted to defend Richard, but couldn't think of anything to say. Nikki likewise feared to say anything. She knew that at that moment, anything they said would only make matters worse. Only the soft hiss of the rain against the leaves filled the otherwise silent, foggy night. Zed, Richard said haltingly.
I'm sorry. Sorry won't get it back from Shota's clutches. Sorry won't save those people who Samuel will have beneath that sword. I love you like a son, Richard, and I always will.
but I've never before been this disappointed in you. I would never have believed that you would do anything this unthinking and reckless.
Richard nodded, unwilling to justify his actions. Nicky's heart was breaking for him.
I will leave you to bury the Mother Confessor while I go try to think of a way to get the sword away from a witch woman who was a lot smarter than my grandson. You should realize that you may very well be responsible for what comes of this.
Richard nodded.
Good. I'm glad you can at least understand that much of it.
He turned to Kara and Nicky, the look in his eyes every bit as intimidating as the look of a Rawl.
I want you to come back to the keep with me. I want to know all about this beast business. Everything about it.
I must stay and watch over Lord Rawl, Kara said.
No, Zed told her. You will come with me and tell me in detail everything that happened with the witch woman. I want to know every word out of Shota's mouth.
Kara looked torn. Zed, I can't. Go with him, Kara, Richard told her in quiet command.
Do as he asks, please.
Nicky recognized how helpless Richard felt at defending his actions in the presence of his grandfather, regardless of how certain he might have been that he did what he thought was necessary. She understood, because she had always been just as helpless in the presence of her mother, when her mother had told her, as she often did, that she had acted wrongly. Nicky had never been able to defend herself against what her mother thought she should have done. Her mother was always able to effortlessly make Nicky's choices seem petty and selfish. No matter how old she was still a child before those who raised her. Even when she had been at the Palace of the Prophets for years, her mother could still make her feel 10 years old and foolish. Because Richard loved and respected his grandfather, that actually made it all that much more difficult for him than it had been for Nicky. Despite everything Richard had accomplished, his strength, his knowledge, his ability, his mastery, he could not argue or reason his way out of the reality of having disappointed his grandfather. And because he loved and respected him, it hurt all the more.
Go on, Nicky told Kara as she gently put her hand on the small of the woman's back. Do as he says for now. I think Richard could use some time alone to think this through and get his bearings.
Kara, her gaze going back and forth between Nicky and Richard, looked like she thought this was something Nicky might be better able to handle and so nodded her agreement.
You too, Zed told Nicky. The Mother Confessor needs to be laid to rest. Let Richard see to it. I need to know your part in this, every bit of it, so that I can try to figure out how to reverse all the trouble born not just of this, but of what Jagang has done.
All right, Nicky said. Get the horses and I'll be right there.
Zed cast a brief last look at Richard, still huddled on his knees beside the coffin before agreeing with a nod to Nicky. After he'd vanished with Kara through the junipers and into the fog, Nicky crouched down beside Richard and laid a hand on his back, between his slumped shoulders.
It will be all right, Richard.
This is the end of disc number 16. Please insert disc number 17.